All right, it's 306 on KMOX, DGS on a Friday. Dave out today, just a short little vacation day. I joked earlier, what did I say it was? Oh, it's a compensation pick vacation day because the week-long vacation to Colorado got postponed until later in the summer. But for now, Dave just taking a day. He'll be back on Monday, and all things will be normal. But Rachel, Andrew, and I are here hanging out, and I guess it's stairway time.
All right, to Kevin.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I don't want to be too serious, but I'm probably going to be a little bit ranty for a second. I'm just curious how you guys respond, not to the specific story, but to the more general thing, which is what I'm going to rant about. So I don't know if you guys saw, we know Steve Bannon's in some trouble.
Yeah.
You know, he keeps losing court cases. He's supposed to be going to jail, all of that. But he also made a threat to former FBI Director Andrew McCabe. He said, and I'm quoting, "We're going to come and get you," right? And I don't want to get into the specifics of Bannon, that case, even that particular threat. What I really cannot take is a guy like Steve Bannon saying that when Steve Bannon's not going to do jack crap but sit on his fat ass and encourage other people to do something on his behalf.
Yeah,
he's not showing up at anybody's door doing anything. He's just going to incite other people to do things. And I hate that. I hate people that are asking other people to make a sacrifice that you won't make yourself. Is that a fair thing, or am I being a little too harsh because he's such a... I can't take him, and I can't take anyone. I don't care what political ideology you ascribe to. If you're saying we... You better be there.
Mm-hmm.
You better be there. You better be in the front if you're saying we and encouraging. Because that's not just we're going to yell at you, right? If you're just going to say that, well, fine. Yeah, I believe Steve Bannon will yell at somebody. Mm. I believe that someone on the liberal side will yell at somebody. But if you're saying we're coming to get you, you should be the one leading the way. And that's actually a broader complaint that I have. I'm not longing for the good old days of the Middle Ages where the king would lead his troops into battle. But I kind of respect that a little bit, as opposed to where we are now, where political leaders and social leaders of movements are not going to go anywhere near the quote unquote front lines of anything.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who do, and I respect them, again, regardless of what you're putting your face out there for. If you're going to lead a march, you know, I respect you for doing that. Even if I don't agree with what your message may be, I respect you for doing that, for taking a step, especially if you're going to be doing, not especially, if you're going to be doing something peacefully and trying to change minds, I have all the respect for you regardless of what your choice of topic is or your choice of movement is. But I cannot stand the, I'm going to hang in the back while you guys all go do the hard stuff. I'm going to be the one that's yelling into a microphone. And I say this as someone yelling into a microphone. I would never sit here on the airways of KMOX and try to encourage other people to do something that I don't have the courage to do myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's my greater, that's more the stairway to Kevin today, is I am so sick of the armchair people. And I'm not saying you can't criticize. I don't mind armchair criticism, like saying this was done incorrectly, that was done incorrectly, because that's the only way we can talk about things. I can't sit in the Senate and participate in a law being written or being voted on or not being voted on. I can critique something getting done poorly or something I don't like. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about encouraging other people to take an action that you yourself will not take, because it's too risky for you, or it's too dirty for you, or you just aren't capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that wrong? Am I being weird about that? I mean, if I am, feel free to tell me, but I don't like the idea that someone's going to lead from the back.
I don't think you're weird or off base for feeling that way. I think if more people felt that way, we would have less people like blindly following people like Steve Bannon. Like, you know, if someone is a huge fan of his and wants to make that sacrifice for him, maybe if they stopped and thought about it for 2 seconds and thought, like, would he do this for me? Or, but I don't know. A lot of people feel like he really is fighting for them. So I don't know. My question for you is, Wheels, do you ever see this happen in the sports world?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I for sure. I mean, I'm not. It's a little less so because in the sports world, it is about someone going out and doing something, mm-hmm. right? You know, and a coach cannot play for the players, right? He can't do that, but he's still got to be a part of it. He's still going to be there. He's right there on the sideline with you. He's there taking the credit or the blame for what goes wrong. And, you know, this idea that you're going to threaten a human being with some kind of action, but you're not going to be the one that does anything because you're too much of a coward to do it is more the idea. But yeah, I think that there's something to be said about, again, I'm not talking about like what people like to call Monday morning quarterbacking from, you know, a phrase that originates in the sports world, because there is nothing wrong with going back over something that happened, whether it's a military action, a police action, a political thing, a sporting event, and going over what went wrong and what could be better, and even offering criticism for those that are supposed to be in positions to know better. We've done this with the mayor's office here pretty repeatedly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, because that's how you make things change. You offer criticism. You say, this was bad, this is why it's bad, and you're in a position where you should know better and do better. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, I don't want to do a thing, so I'm going to encourage other people to do it for me instead, because I don't want to get my hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's I'm making the distinction well enough.
You are.
Yeah, because I think it's important for leaders of any kind to be willing to do the things that they're asking others to do. I don't know, maybe that comes from... For me, maybe it comes from kind of where my dad comes from. My dad is that, you know, he was in the army. You know, he's that kind of guy that if he's going to ask you to do something, it's something he's willing to do. It's not going to be something that he's not willing to do or hasn't done at times in the past. A lot of the best coaches will that I've had, they demand a lot of me, but they're not saying, well, I need you to do something that I would never have done. They're telling me, do this because I did it and that's what it takes. Is that, I don't know, maybe I'm not making the distinction because I get caught up in the frustration of what we have a lot of now. Because I know that, again, that's why I wanted to take it separately from the Bannon thing, because I also think it applies to influencers across the board. The idea that you're going to influence people, but you're not going to be taking the same stance.
Or it could apply to government.
It absolutely applies to elected officials, in my opinion.
Like the thing that I keep thinking of during this conversation is all of these people in Congress who have these like amazing healthcare plans.
Right,
and then they
right.
say to us, like, you got to go out and
you got
to
pay
do
for
the
it.
Right. Yeah, you mm-hmm. got to do the right thing here. It's like, well, I shouldn't have to take this from you of all people. Like, what are you talking about?
It's too like the other way to look at it. This again, I think. I probably think it applies more to elected officials than anyone else, than Bannon or some other influencer or whatever, or a celebrity, whatever, because they have decided to run for a position where they can do these things. They are influencing the policy, and yet they want a standard separate for them than for the rest of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we're gonna have play these games where we're gonna shut down the government. Really? Because would you do anything that would shut down your benefits?
Right.
Would you do anything that would cause your paycheck to stop or your families to lose out on benefits that they need to get by? Because when it becomes personal, you don't do those things. And I guess that's kind of the point, is to lead from the front rather than leading from the rear. Don't make exceptions for yourself. If a standard should apply to me, it should apply to you in a position of power. And sometimes that position of power is having a microphone like I have right now. And sometimes it's holding office. The mayor of St. Louis should have no separate rules for herself or for her family than she does for me or you or anybody else. And the problems that we run into oftentimes are when we try to make different standards, it's impossible to stay consistent and it's impossible to do all of the things that you need to get done. if you are held to the same standard that you are asking other people to hold themselves to, things work a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's more that general observation that there's too much now of I'm going to push other people to do all these things, but I don't want to do it.
Wheels, why do you think society seems so okay with people in leadership positions acting this way? Because it's pretty widespread.
I'll speak for myself, like why I've tolerated, you know, like why we, you know, because it's too, it feels too hard not to, right? The alternative is I have to do a lot of things. I think we talked about, was it yesterday or the day before? The hard part is if you want to change something, it's got to change at the small, boring level first, right? You have to participate in primaries and you've got to learn about different candidates that are in small little areas. And then you've got to vote for them and you've got to go out and vote on primary day. You got to vote on non-presidential election years and you've got to vote on all of the different judges that are in your area. Like if you want change, it takes attention to detail and that's hard and boring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. It's just hard and boring for everybody to pay attention at the level that it would take to actually change things. It's daunting.
Yeah.
You look at this huge thing, this huge problem, and the only way you can fix it is just a tiny little bit at a time. And that just seems like, and I know from listening to people talk, and I know from how it feels to me, that seems like it's just too much. Like, we have to tear down this wall, but we have to tear down this wall with a spoon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only do a little scoop at a time, and that's all you can do is that little bit every time. Eventually, the wall will fall, but it's going to take a really long time. And you're not going to get the immediate gratification. It's a lot easier to do the loud screaming and get the immediate feedback and the feeling good, like I'm doing something. But the reality is you're not. You're hopefully changing minds. But even that, if the minds that you're changing aren't all willing to go get the spoon and start taking scoops out of that wall to knock it down, then it doesn't matter. That wall is not coming down.
Hmm.
I feel like that didn't make sense.
It definitely makes sense.
Like
that. And it just makes me even more angry at the people who exploit the system because they do. People are, I don't want to say people are desperate, but people maybe feel hopeless whenever they think of a change. And so it's like, I'm just going to take advantage of the fact that everyone feels hopeless and stay in this position.
And the part that bothers me the most is what it ends up doing is what we see right now in 2024. Is it ends up with us yelling at each other, neighbor against neighbor, flying different flags, being mad at each other all the time, when the real truth is that we should all, whether you are MAGA or you are super woke, you should all be mad at the same people.
Mm-hmm.
You should all be mad at people that are way up top on the food chain. You shouldn't be yelling across the street. You should be looking at the power structure because that's the problem. And that's what ends up dividing all of us in the end anyway. All right, coming up on 3:30 here on KMOX DGS on a Friday. No Cardinals tonight. Quick reminder on that. No Cardinals tonight because of the game down in Birmingham, Alabama last night at Rickwood Field. When the schedule was put out, Major League Baseball built in the off day today. So Giants and Cardinals played last night. Cardinals win. Now games 2 and 3 of the series will be at Busch Stadium. Tomorrow and Sunday. They're going to be afternoon games.
Ooh, maybe, nice and sweltering.
Say maybe to Rachel and Amy, it's going to be fine, but to everybody else, it's going to be hot.
It'll
be
sounds a nice, like a pleasant afternoon.
Yeah, it'll be nice and mild for people like Rachel and Amy.
Dave Murray's not going to be with us today live, but we're going to get his forecast coming up in just a few minutes.
Can I ask you a question?
My forecast is it's going to be hot. So if you're coming out to the game, bring your sunscreen, bring lots of water. And I'll give you guys the talk that I give to all my players in advance of it being hot. I let Rachel in on this, too, because she was asking about
the heat. Very helpful.
The birds and the bees.
Hydrate in advance. Andrew, don't make it weird.
Yeah, Kevin did not have to explain that to me. For the love of God.
I thought of the joke before he said that. Then he said that, and I was like, I'll go ahead with it.
So now we all have that. image in our head, and me handling baby Andrew when I was 22 years old and walking around with baby
it's
Andrew.
It's been a weird show.
It's on a Friday. But the talk is hydrate in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait till you're thirsty to start drinking water and Gatorade and stuff like that. If you're going to go to the game tomorrow, I'm not kidding. Even if you're just sitting there in the sun, you should be drinking today, and you should be doing it for days in advance.
I didn't know about
that. Spending all that time out there. Yep.
I'm an idiot, but I didn't know that.
Eat lots of fruit, you know, like grapes and strawberries and apples and bananas and stuff, and drink liquids like waters and Gatorades and things along those lines. And something I just learned not that long ago, because I am not that smart. Apparently, if you're doing Gatorades and Powerades and things like that, if it's the kind that doesn't have sugar in it, the electrolytes don't absorb as well.
Oh, wow.
I learned that from a doctor. So keep that in mind, too, if you're looking at keeping yourself hydrated in advance of getting out to the games this weekend. We don't have Dave Murray live today. He's got another commitment, but we do have a live look at what we're going to be facing this weekend when we go outside into, looks like going to be an oven here in St. Louis.
Could not be with you live today, but I don't have an awful lot of new stuff to tell you about. This big bubble of high pressure covering much of the nation. A lot of sinking air, so rain, thunderstorms, big storms, all that stuff, very hard to come into play. Though we do have a weak front that's going to try to kind of push against this bubble of high pressure. That thing will kind of sink down towards St. Louis late Saturday night and early Sunday morning. Could be a couple of scattered thunderstorms around, but the atmosphere is pretty dry with this sinking air, so thunderstorms are hard to get going, and the front will stall out over us, and then it just washes away, so it's going to have very little effect on our temperatures and very little effect on our weather, so it's just really a hot weekend. On Saturday, 99 degrees, all is quiet, all is dry. Saturday night, the evening is fine. Partly cloudy skies as we now are in the longest days of the year. As the front sinks in, a couple of scattered thunderstorms after midnight Saturday night. Sunday, a couple of scattered thunderstorms in the morning. Any threat should be over by mid-morning on Sunday. Otherwise, partly sunny skies and 94 degrees. Clear skies Sunday night. Monday, sunny skies, 96 degrees. I've been talking about we are looking at this heat continuing right through this week ahead and right through next weekend, probably right into the 4th of July, but I'll keep you up to date on that. Alberto, the tropical storm, has moved well inland into Mexico. It is not going to be able to penetrate the high pressure at all, so we will see nothing at all from that. So just kind of slow down, enjoy, take it easy as we head into the first weekend of summer. Talk to you on Monday.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate the information. Always hate it when it's the sinking air. I just hate that.
Yeah.
The sinking air.
I just like to, he said that a couple times. I don't know what it means.
Nothing but trouble, I'll tell you that much.
And I might not even be getting it right. I just think it's great when you hear really interesting, specific terms and you have no idea what they mean.
Yeah.
Dave Murray is, I love Dave. He's really good at that, though. He's really good at hitting you with the specific terms. And he's like, well, obviously, you know. And we had to be like,
but it probably
sure.
is obvious. Like I can feel that because I do that sometimes with baseball. Like when I'm talking or when I'm talking sports, I just like assume people know things and then they don't.
You assume I know.
I assumed you knew the Masters was in Augusta.
You assume I know.
I assumed you knew that. And you're like, nope, don't know that. And I'm like, there's no way.
You assume I know so much I don't know.
Yeah, it's only Dave probably.
I don't know
like when I say I don't know what sinking air is, Dave probably like, ah. Everybody knows what sinking air is, if I'm even remembering
he's
what
like,
he's
everyone's
like.
Everyone's a weather nerd like me.
You are a star spotter? A sky man?
What weather spotter.
Weather spotter.
I'm trained weather spotter.
Okay.
I did a couple of hours with a guy from the National Weather Service with a whole bunch of other people.
I'm trained. You should know them.
I know what a hook cloud is.
Hey.
When you were sitting in that class getting your certification or... Was it easier?
So much disdain on
that. No. No, but when you were sitting there, were you like, I want to look at my phone so bad? Or was it easy to pay attention?
I wasn't thinking I want to look at my phone. I was looking at my phone.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough.
No, not that bad. No, that was partly true. There were parts of it that I was like, okay. But no, most of it was kind of just teaching the basics and showing you. Like, there's a lot of video of what storm things look like, or this is what happens and this kind of thing. So that was all right. And then you're just like answering basic questions to make sure you were paying some attention, and then you get them right. It's not like it. It's also very much like a volunteer thing. Like, you're not bound to report weather. You know, you just like, if you would see something, now you have an idea of what to tell them when you call, how to specify what you saw and where it was. And that's basically all you're doing.
Mm.
Yeah. It's not really like, yeah, it's not so much training as, you know, they need, you know, like boots on the ground, people that are in a spot when something's bad happening. So how many of those people know the phone number to talk to the National Weather Service in their area? And then how to be helpful as opposed to just wasting their time.
Yeah.
That's essentially what you learn. And you do learn about like what a hook cloud is, and you know, when you're talking about funnel cloud and tornado, like, it's just things to be aware of, measuring the size of the hail so you can give that to them. So when somebody says there was quarter size hail in St. Charles, that means the person who was the weather spotter that called actually looked at it, picked it up, and saw it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have a weather radio? Like,
no.
A NOAA weather radio. Man, when I worked at Radio Shack, those things would sell like hotcakes. People mm-hmm. loved them, which I kind of don't understand because we do have KMOX and we will go into storm mode. So I don't know why you need that special radio for it. They also would ask us to program them, and I would always find an excuse not to because I had no idea how to do it.
Yeah. And things are hard.
Anyway,
was the excuse, I don't know how to do it?
I would usually be like, I'm busy right now.
Gotta run to the side of the mall.
Got a thing that's happening in a minute.
I can't help you with that. I'm sorry.
Let us do headlines.
Yeah, headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, so the Supreme Court has upheld a gun ban for domestic abusers. They ruled 8-1 in favor of allowing people under a restraining order for domestic violence to be banned from possessing a gun and having their gun license suspended. The only dissenting vote was Clarence Thomas.
Hmm.
But Chief Justice John Roberts wrote that the law was consistent with the Second Amendment.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I know there were a couple people yesterday that were kind of concerned about how that ruling was going to and whether it was going to come down at all this week based on their previous ruling this week. But I think that's a pretty fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say exception, but it's a fair guideline. Like, if you're a person that is harming other people and you're a threat to other people, maybe you shouldn't have the firearm.
Right.
And by the way, it's fully within your control to not be that person.
Yeah, don't be that person.
Yes, it is fully within your grasp to not be a spousal abuser. So just don't do that and you can have your guns.
Okay, got to be a little careful when I talk about this next story because I don't want to trigger anyone's AI assistant, Alexa.
Alexa!
Oh, no. You just set that off for so many people.
Now he's gone and done it.
I'm sorry.
But Amazon is giving her an AI-powered facelift and might start charging customers to use it. Amazon has considered charging a fee of $5 to $10 per month for the upgraded version of the AI assistant. So that's something that's coming, I'm sure. I highly doubt they're going to be giving us all of this new tech for free for forever. So,
well, they're already listening to everything we say. They should be paying us.
That's an excellent point.
I mean, I know I'm being somewhat facetious, but I mean, they're gathering all of that information and hearing it. They're not doing that for no reason, right?
Right.
So if you're benefiting from doing that, then pay me for the privilege.
The Missouri Attorney General is suing New York over Trump's prosecution. I'm not sure how this all adds up, but let's read the story.
Say it again.
The Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey says he's filing a lawsuit against the state of New York over its prosecution of Donald Trump. Bailey has accused New York of unconstitutional lawfare and claimed they were trying to rig the 2024 election. The case will be titled Missouri versus New York, and a state versus state action would go directly to the Supreme Court if this is taken up. I don't really understand why we're doing why Missouri is doing this, but all right. Wheels, you look concerned.
I'm deciding whether or not I want to be mean.
Oh, go ahead. It's Friday.
Someone's a headline grabber.
Well, yeah.
I mean, somebody is very much look at me.
Yeah.
It might be Andrew Bailey, who's very much look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look at me grabbing headlines. Come on, dude. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, we all know what you're doing. You're not slick.
I know.
All right.
Whatever. It's fine. I mean, I don't even know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is precedent for such a thing. But, you know, one state suing another state for enforcing its laws.
Yeah, I just don't understand how Missouri is involved in this, like in any way. But
I mean,
that's
again,
okay.
I'm not a lawyer. Maybe right. I'm entirely wrong about this. But whatever.
All right, moving
Enjoy
on.
Enjoy the attention.
Here's that attention you ordered. All right, an ancient Mayan vase found at a thrift store has been returned to Mexico. This was a 1,200-year-old Mayan vase. It was sold for just $4 in a thrift store in Maryland. Its owner realized what she had after seeing similar-looking vases at a museum in Mexico City. She worked with officials to authenticate the vase, which dates back to 200 to 800 AD. And she said she's happy to see the artifact go back to its rightful place.
Where did she send it to?
To Mexico.
Oh, to the museum.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Good for her.
Yeah, really nice. Imagine picking that up for $4 and then it's like, oh, this is 1,200 years old.
Yeah,
very
that could be. What's that? There's a TV show where they do that, right?
Antiques like, Roadshow.
Antiques Roadshow. There mm-hmm. you go. She could have gone on that and said, oh, I could make $50,000. Mm-hmm. But instead, she said, you know what? This belongs. She did a little Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It belongs in a museum. Good for her.
Let's do one more story here. And I'm just going to apologize for this one in advance. But as soon as I saw it, I knew I had to talk about it on the Dave Glover Show. George Santos, Wheeler's favorite person, has announced an OnlyFans account.
Oh, for God's sake.
He said, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. Only on OnlyFans will you get to see the full behind-the-scenes access to everything I'm working on. See y'all there. So that happened. That's the thing that's going on.
Yeah. We live in the times where we just talked about this, where we have scientists who can communicate with a satellite 15 billion miles away from Earth and fix things on that satellite digitally via that distance. And also George Santos exists.
Yep. He's here, too.
Yeah. You know, sometimes doing a radio show is just kind of like adapting on the fly, right? You see something and it catches your attention and you want to talk about it. Dave does that. I do that. Like, I think everybody does because it just feels natural sometimes to, like, what you're looking at in the moment is like, I'd like to talk about that right now. So you do it. And it's kind of appropriate that we're playing a lot of Led Zeppelin today. In a lot of areas of musicdom, they're considered the first heavy metal band. Although when you listen to them now, you don't really think of what you hear, what has followed as heavy metal. They don't sound like that. It's just a lot more bluesy than that. But anyway, they kind of carry that title. They change everything. But I saw this. It made me laugh. And I'm not trying to be mean. I know it's going to sound a little bit, but not really. Because it's not a quality judgment. It's just more of a differentiation in style. But I saw this just now on Twitter. That Def Leppard's lead singer Joe Elliott does not like it when people call them heavy metal, and he says people have they think of it's like it's bad news when you're called that. And I'm like, well, first of all, does anybody think that Def Leppard's heavy metal?
Yeah, I'm not really like a big. I don't have a lot of Def Leppard knowledge, yeah. But I never would have categorized them as heavy metal.
I like Def Leppard a lot. Like, I am a Def Leppard OG. Like, I had their earliest records going back to when I was 11, 12 years old. Pyromania, to this day, is still a great rock record, and I still listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything after that,
yeah,
not so much. Not a fan, but that and before, there are a couple things before, too. Really like them. I think they fall into a category, like, they're a hard rock band. They're a rock band. And I think if you could throw them in there with Aerosmith, and this is why I want to say it's not, like, I'm not making fun of Def Leppard. I'm just saying they're not heavy metal.
Yeah,
it is not. Like, if you want to get it's It's like saying, like, yeah, I have a cat, but I really think I like to call him a dog. He's not a dog. He's a cat.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just not the same thing. It's not better or worse. Not judging, because I know a lot of people love Dave loves. I love Dev Leppard. Again, Pyromania before. After that, I thought they got a little too radio poppy, which is another reason why you can't be too much, and you can't be linked to. What, like, when I say heavy metal to you, Rach, as a non-heavy metal fan, what do you, how does it strike you? Like, what do you think the sound is you're going to hear?
These days it's kind of more like screamo and like heavy guitars, I guess. But
that's
what
it is.
I would think like Black Sabbath.
There are even people that will debate that. I will not. I think they are that because of the heaviness of the subject matter is part of it,
mm-hmm.
but also the sound. You know, it's heavy on the bass, deep drums a lot of times. And there are subgenres, like there's a difference between Black Sabbath and say Metallica. They're different styles, but they both have that heavy feel. And that's not what most of the regular rock bands had from the 70s and 80s. And it's not a value thing. I mean, like, I'm a huge Van Halen fan. I love them. They're one of my all-time favorites. They're not a metal band. Mm-hmm. They're just not. It's not what they are. It's not their sound. It's not the vibe. And that's the same thing with Def Leppard. But I do think it's funny sometimes in music we get into these, like, I don't want to be called this.
Yeah.
And you're like, part of it is you're going to be called what people think you are, you know, when you have a certain type of sound.
And the guy from Def Leppard was saying he didn't like it because he doesn't like the connotations.
Yeah, he said everybody outside of rock always thinks that if you're a heavy metal band, it's like bad news. I'm like,
oh, like you're going to be getting people in trouble.
Bro, it's not 1974 anymore. Like, people don't like go, oh, no.
It's not like, you know, like, oh, Dungeons and Dragons. That's going to make your kid a Satanist.
Right. It's not like it used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, certain genres still carry that, like death metal carries that. But I think it's kind of in the name.
Right. Yeah. They're telling you who they are.
Yeah.